If you've been waiting, now is the hour to call. I've got two interviews coming up next hour. It's going to be tougher to get through it, but this first hour is wide open. It belongs to you. Open phones. 1-800-636-8686. Use the phone number. The lines are open. It's available. My name is Jim Rome. I'm coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, which are situated in Southern California. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Next hour is Sean Livingston of the Golden State Warriors. They beat up on LA last night. Klay Thompson was amazing, even for Klay. Sean Livingston next hour. Howard Beck next hour. Phone lines are open right now. We talked in hour number one about Carmelo Anthony on the move yet again. They trade him. They trade him and include money in the deal. I mean, guys never, ever get to pick how their careers end. Guys almost never, ever go out on their own terms. But this is about as bad as it gets. We hit that. I want to get to the league reviewing the PI penalties and how they're called and whether or not a rule change might help that. Saints fans literally want to sue for that game to be replayed. Or at the very least, to be picked up at the point of infraction. Again, Saints fans, I understand why you're upset. You have a right to be upset. Don't be ridiculous. You're not going to sue to get that game played again. That's not happening. We talked to Ian O'Connor, who wrote a book about Bill Belichick, literally wrote the book on Bill Belichick, and he said he loves the Patriots. He thinks they're going to get another one. I want to take the other side of that and talk about the Rams and talk about what they're doing defensively under Son of Bum. It's been a tough 24-plus hours from D Ford. Except the wrong D Ford. As always, a guy lets a fan base down. That fan base, not in total, but certain idiots who are a part of that fan base, rush to Twitter to kill the guy only to find the wrong person. So there's a lady named D Ford who's getting all the vitriol and all the venom, and she's clapping back hard. Not only holding her own, but getting over on eggs, which I'll get to too. And it is an open phone hour, so what do you say we start hour number two by going to the REX in the ABQ? Rex in Albuquerque. Start hour number two. Hello, Rex.
Hey, Jimmy. You know, as a Nuggets fan, I'm really saddened by the fall of Carmelo Anthony. Leaving Denver was the worst decision he ever made. It's very disappointing. It's almost as disappointing as me flipping my new mattress for the first time and finding out it was one-sided. There was no pillow top on the bottom. These mattress stores are the biggest scam ever. They're always having a blowout sale. They sell one mattress a day after discounting at 75%, and the sales guy drives home in a new Lexus. How does that work exactly? Would somebody explain that to me? And I'm still wondering what that protein stain by the headboard is.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Rex. I don't think I need to jump in right now and talk about the benefits of a Casper mattress. I think I've done that already. They come without stains. 1-800-636-8686. Rex, Casper is the way to go, all right? They put it in a how-did-they-do-that-sized box, and they let you try it for 100 nights for free in your own home. And if for whatever reason you don't love it, and you will, if for whatever reason you do not love it, they will come and get it, no questions asked. You got to look into that, Rex. Promo code Rome, Rex. Dear Jim, I would also like to formally submit a complaint and have a redo in my match. Yours, Greg Hardy. Ken in Calgary. He lost by DQ in round two with an illegal knee to the head. I just saw a tweet from TMZ where he says he hates that people think of him as a cheater. Better that than somebody who abuses women, Greg. UFC's Greg Hardy, quote, "I hate people thinking I'm a cheater." Better that than what they normally say about you, Greg. All right. In the meantime, I'm still looking for good phone calls. The kind of phone call that might get racked. The kind of phone call that might inspire some other discussion. The kind of phone call that's going to make this show better. The kind of phone call that's going to make my life better. The kind of phone call that might win you a Masterbuilt smoker. Now remember, Alvy, we're not giving them away today, but I've got the authority to move one today. Really good content will get it for you. All right, so now it's Tuesday. Now we're 2 days out from the NFC Championship game, and yet the missed call is still the biggest story in all sports, and it's still a terrible look for the NFL. It overshadowed two championship games that went to overtime. It overshadowed two amazing stories in the Patriots and the Rams. It's currently drowning out the buildup to the Super Bowl. I don't suspect this is going to go on for two more weeks, but it's still going on. Here is that play. One more time, this time with feeling.
Third down and 10, Breeze from the gun, takes the snap, goes to the near side, hit Early. Fair. Where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee, Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
Wow, not a flag to be found.
Unbelievable.
That's the second time. Can't challenge it.
Normally I'd call those guys out for being homers, but they were right. That call, that local call was justified. Where is the flag? How is there no flag? And seeing it and hearing it again 2 days later, it's still bad. In fact, it's actually worse right now than it was the first day and yesterday. I mean, it's that bad. So no wonder you have PFT pointing out that the league's rules do in fact allow the commissioner to take extraordinary measures. Quote, if any club action, non-participant interference, or calamity occurs in an NFL game which the commissioner deems so extraordinarily unfair or outside the accepted tactics encountered in professional football that such action has a major effect on the result of the game. End of quote. Now, allow me to read a little further. Quote, the commissioner's powers include this section to include the reversal of a game's result or the rescheduling of a game, either from the beginning or from the point at which the extraordinary act occurred. End quote. In other words, the commissioner could theoretically order both teams back onto the field in the Superdome and then restart that game from the moment where Nickell Robey-Coleman committed the PI that was not called. He literally could do that. He could order them. He's got the power. He has the authority vested within. He could order them back onto the field. The Saints know this, which is why Saints receiver Michael Thomas tweeted, quote, Rule 17, Section 2, Article 3 at NFL, with broken heart emoji and a Saints logo. And then he chased that with, hey, Roger, pick up the phone. Mike, I see you working. I respect it, but you better know that Raj is not going to pick up that phone. That's not happening. I mean, it would be awesome if he did. I'd be totally down for starting that game right back up again tomorrow night, but that's not happening. Even though he does have the power. He's got the power, but he will never use it for that. And yes, it was not just the NRC committed pass interference, and it wasn't called. It wasn't just that. He committed it, and he admitted it, and it wasn't called. So I'm not sure that that counts as a so-called calamity in the rule book, but it's as close as a missed call might come to being a calamity. And again, if it is a calamity, Roger can order them back on the field. So a day later, the Saints players are not feeling any better. Teron Armstead said, quote, I didn't know much about that rule, but I read it and it's in place. I mean, I think our case would be the case to make the rule come to life, end quote. Again, I agree. If you were ever going to use it for a situation, for something that happened on the field, anything short of somebody going fan man and flying onto the field mid-play, then that was the play and that was the game to do it. But it wasn't done because it's not going to get done. Armstead said the whole thing hurts. Quote, I'm trying to stop crying, for real. Like a baby, just thinking about everything in totality, just being so close to actually going to the Super Bowl from somebody like me from a small town in Illinois, a small school, and I'm about to go to a Super Bowl. Man, that bleep is tough. It's like heartbreaking. We battled. We're all sore, hurting, and it was all for nothing. That bleep sucks. most blatant call you'll ever see. It changes lives. We're not asking for a favor or anything. Just make the call. End quote. It's a powerful statement. I do not disagree with anything he just said there. They're not looking for a favor. They're only looking for the refs to do their job. And if your argument is that mistakes like that are part of the game, my response is they shouldn't be part of the game. Not blatant mistakes like that. The refs need to do better. So, the league is not going to restart that game. But the Washington Post did report that the league is going to look at making pass interference reviewable. Well, more specifically, such a rule change will be, quote, discussed at length along with additional fouls the coaches feel should be subject to review. So there you go, Saints fans. That's got to make you feel a hell of a lot better, right? Nothing like a detailed discussion sometime after the fact to make you feel like justice was served. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to replay it. They're not going to bring them both back. You're still not going to the Super Bowl, but there is going to be a detailed discussion. You got to feel good about that. Most Saints fans I know are going to watch the Super Bowl and say, yeah, we could be in that game. It should be us in that game, but at least the league is going to have a sit down and talk about what happened at some point. And you know what? That's even better than being in the Super Bowl. Worse yet, Saints fan, I think you know how this goes. I think you know how these conversations go. They'll talk about it for a while. Maybe it'll go on. It'll go one or two ways. They'll decide to table it for another time because this is not the first time that this has been raised. It's not the first time it's come up. It's not the first time they've thought about making PI reviewable. And there have been reasons that it was shot down in the past. Or what they'll do is they'll come up with some convoluted, watered down rule that will somehow make it even worse than it already is right now. Sincerely, the catch rule. I hate to say it, but when it comes to getting it right, I've got about as much confidence that the league will get it right in a conference room as I have that the refs got it right on the field that day, which is to say, none at all. If we do come out of this with a new review rule, that would be impressive. And if it's a new review rule that actually works, that's actually an improvement, that would be a miracle. But it's still not going to take away anything that happened on Sunday. It's not going to make Sean Payton feel better. It's not going to make the Saints players feel better. I know it's not going to make the Saints fans feel any better. And to quote Teron Armstead, that bleep is tough. That bleep sucks. So no, Saints fan, they're not going to run them back on the field. Raj has the authority and the power to do so, but the fact that they haven't done it yet tells you it's not going to happen. But does that make you feel better? They'll talk about it. You know who I really want to hear from? I want to hear from somebody who watches the Canadian Football League. They do review PI there. It seems like it works. But does it really? Does it slow the game down? Or, to the point, does it not matter how long it takes? Because the point is, get it freaking right. Manitoba! Regina! Moose Jaw! Saskatchewan! Edmonton! Winnipeg! Calgary! I want to hear from a fan of the Canadian Football League. You've been doing it for a couple of years. Does it work? Oh, and how's Johnny Manziel? We are coming right back. Open phones right now. You know, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky shirt. Like, you may think that it makes you look casual, but more than likely, it just ends up looking sloppy. This is why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. They're made for that reason. It's a casual shirt that is not too long, not too short. It's just right. Shirts that are designed so well that GQ actually calls them perfection. That's a quote. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. With more than 50 sizing options, every guy can find the perfect shirt. So log on to Untuckit.com, check out all the new arrivals, and use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuckit at one of their over 35 retail locations across the country. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants and your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Again, use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off Untuckit.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sarah T's back in. Now we know Sarah T. Sarah T is a big-time Patriots fan. She writes, "Hi, Jim. I guess the question is, even if the call was made for pass interference, how do we know Breeze would not have thrown a cow turd next? You can't make up a fictitious ending, then get mad that the made-up ending didn't actually happen." Signed, Sarah T. Wore Tom Brady absorbing laser beam energy and transferring it into his throwing arm. In this case, Sarah, I can guarantee that Drew Brees would not have thrown a cow turd next. I can guarantee that. I can promise that. Because of where they were on the field, because the Rams had only one timeout left, because it would have been a first down, they would have just taken the knee a couple of times, spun the clock, kicked the field goal. There was no need for him to throw the ball at that point. And where Sean Payton may have done some things that were kind of questionable throughout that game, and Drew Brees may have made some questionable decisions throughout that game, they did not play that well. Their skill guys did not get off, which I'll get to in a minute. I think this much we know. Considering where that penalty happened, and it was a penalty, he was not going to throw a cow turd. They didn't need to. They would have taken a knee, run the clock down, kicked the field goal, and gotten out of there. So let me say one more time. That butchered call is not the reason that they lost that game. But if the referees had done their job, and by the way, there was a referee right on top of that play looking right at it. Had he and that crew done their job, the Saints would have won that game. That I can guarantee. I can. We all can. So in that case, Sarah, you're wrong. Here's a straight Mello take. Romulus, the more you see guys like Mello linger past the expiration date, the more you appreciate the Barry Sanders and Jim Browns who go out on top. Brad and Hillsdale. Yeah, I mean, that's really unusual. Barry Sanders was a really different dude. Jim Brown was a really different dude. Mello is not the only guy to do this. And I understand that it's all they know. It's their whole identity. And the guy is often the last guy to know. But Mello should know. This isn't a case of somebody needing to pull Mello aside and tell him the hard truth. Somebody needing to tell Mello what he doesn't want to hear. The guy's got to know, right? He just got dealt again, this time with cash, and he's not going to play a minute for the team that he's going to. I want to say it's a bad look. I want to say that this is not the way you want to go out. But hell, man, his life, his legacy. I just don't understand why he wants to go out like that. For who? For what? You've got your gold medals. You've got your national championship. You've got your money. You're going to go right into the Hall of Fame. Man, it's embarrassing, Mello. Nobody wants you. And it's not just one bad fit either. No matter where you go, either they move you right along before they let you come to the practice facility, or they try you out and it doesn't work out. That whole OKC thing went terribly. That Rocket thing went even worse. Aren't you a member of the Atlanta Hawks for a minute? And you're not going to be a member of Chicago. They're not going to let you stop there. They don't want you. They're going to move you too. Like, so why is he doing this? Because I'm going to go out on my own terms? I'm going to will this thing my way? I'm going to have the last say here? You're not. Nobody needs you. Nobody wants you. The writing is on the wall. Just look at it and read it and you'll know. You had a great career. But again, what the hell am I getting so worked up about? It's his legacy. I don't care. It's his legacy. He wants to jack it up, let him. It is his life. But dude, you are making a mess of the end of your career. My man, Seattle Seahawk Franco Harris can't believe that you're doing this. Hey, Jim, did I hear you say that Carmelo is a tax haven? How can I get in on that? Regards, Cristiano Ronaldo. Jeremy, surrounded by meth in Oregon. Ronaldo was fined 19 million euros, which is more than 21 mil U.S. money for tax fraud. I don't know, bro. I mean, like, you're a really good player, really popular guy, good-looking guy. You got to pay taxes, man. We all do. And finally, Rome, have you ever seen rock bottom before? No, seriously. Getting traded with cash considerations to a team that is going to buy him out so the original team can get a bench player is one step above pulling your two kids' high-profile college scholarship to bring them halfway across the world to play semi-pro basketball in Lithuania for a team that sarcastically offered an invitation on Twitter. Matt in Poland Springs. It's true. Like I said, this guy is a tax haven at this point. Melo. They just passed him along. Rome. I think Melo still has it. He only needs a chance. Signed Uncle Rico.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt.
This one says, hey, Melo, welcome to the party, pal. Signed Dez Bryant.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Wore Melo going overseas to be the sixth man on a team that starts guys like Ron Artest and Dennis Rodman. You know, actually, he could go overseas. He could go to China, make a hell of a lot of money, get a hell of a lot of touches, play a lot of minutes, build his international brand. I mean, if I were him, I would do that. It's either that or try to find somebody to bring him off the bench and pay him the NBA veterans minimum. And who's going to do that? And if you're going to say it's all about the ring, no, it's not. Has this guy ever been about the ring? It's not. If he were about the ring, he would have played defense once in a while. He would have gone to the glass once in a while. If it were about the ring, would he have forced his way to New York? No. He was about being the man and doing it in the big city and getting paid. Rich Horrid tweets, Jim, a PI review in three-down football cost teams a six-pack of Labatt's Blue and a medium-sized pelt for each challenge. Sign the CFL. Yeah, Rich, I think that's probably not what that is. I mean, even though I went to my butter knife voice, I was actually serious. Is there anybody listening, because we have Canadian affiliates, are there any CFL fans who can actually speak to this? Because I can't. I don't think it would be a big deal. I think PI should be reviewable. In fact, I think everything should be reviewable. And I'm not concerned about how long it's going to take because they've already added time to the games. I'm concerned about them getting it right. I'm concerned about somebody not losing a chance to go to the Super Bowl. To me, it would work. If you have the technology, either go all in or don't use it at all. Use it all the time or don't use it at all, but don't go halfway and half-ass it. Otherwise, you end up with what we have right now. So I was actually being serious when I asked for somebody who watches the CFL. All right, so let's find out. This guy seems to be that guy. Let's go to Winnipeg. JD in Winnipeg. Good to have you, JD. What's
up? Jim, thanks for taking my call today, man.
You got it.
Really, really quickly, I'm all in on your new year, new me mentality. That's why after almost 20 years of listening to your show, I'm finally participating for the first time.
Good.
Also wanted to say thank you so much for the interview with Paul Maurice yesterday. We here in Winnipeg know what kind of an outstanding man Pomo is and what kind of an exceptional leader of men he is, and now all of your listeners know that too. So here it is. Up here in the Great White North, the CFL has allowed challenges for defensive pass interference for a few years, and there's a couple of things with that. Firstly, it goes both ways. You can challenge an undeserved penalty call and a blown call, like we saw on Sunday. And yeah, that particular non-call against Mikel Roby Coleman would have been overturned. There's a few problems. We still have conclusive replay evidence that gets missed by the officials after review. Just look at the multitude of reviews in the past Chiefs game that they still got wrong. Furthermore to that, we now have a problem where coaches are throwing challenge flags on a prayer, hoping for the ref to see something that will change the result of the play, like a quick arm tug on the opposite side of the field is going to get them first and goal. So for all of you people who want the NFL to adopt a similar rule, which I am in favor of, just know it's never a magic bullet, and you could end up with more problems than you started with. Unwore Tom Brady's cartoon sideline jacket concealing a hyperbaric chamber. I'm out.
Go ahead and rack him, JD in Winnipeg. New year, new him. 20 years of listening, you decided to make the phone call. My man, you handled that like a boss. That was easy. I wish you had done that sooner. He talked about Paul Maurice. He was so good. Winnipeg head coach. We talked some hockey yesterday. He was awesome. I knew he would be. And I look forward to talking to him for a long time. We finally got that done. And he's right. All of you who heard that now know what he's all about. He said, listen, be careful what you wish for. We do use it here in Winnipeg, but it's not the magic bullet. It doesn't fix everything. No, of course not. It won't fix everything. It'll slow the game down, but it'll fix something like that. It won't fix everything, but it will fix that. Believe me, there was enough evidence to overturn that call. We can go back and forth. And if you're going to do that, tie it to a coach's timeouts too. Maybe there was not enough evidence to overturn Julian Edelman muffing that punt. I understand that. But there was more than enough evidence to overturn NRC smashing into the receiver and hitting him in the head, both before the ball arrived. You want more evidence? He admitted to doing it. You need additional evidence? He said himself that it was PI. And when asked why he did it, he said it was because I was beaten on the play and I wanted to make sure the guy didn't score a touchdown. Is there any more evidence than that? The fact that everybody in the whole world saw it and the guy who did it admitted it? Make it reviewable. It could work. It's not that big of a deal. Change the rule. All right, we're coming right back. I'm trying to decide whether or not to check in on our boy Hawk. Hawk now has two kids, and his wife has three. Hey-o. Next hour's busy. Sean Livingston next hour. Howard Beck next hour. I definitely want to talk about the Rams defense this hour. D Ford getting lit up on Twitter after lining up in the neutral zone and costing his team a shot at the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, the wrong D Ford is getting lit up on Twitter, but she's handling her business. Oh, that's coming up. If somebody steps up huge, I'll give away a Masterbuilt smoker. Best content gets it, even on an off day. First up, here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Today is Podcast Tuesday, Jim Rome Podcast. Brand new episode dropping after the program today. I am going to do it right after the show today. And today's guest is Maury Povich, host of the famous Maury Show. I cannot wait to talk to him. Maury Povich is going to join us for the Jim Rome Podcast. And he himself is on record as saying it. You want to talk about legacy. When I said about Melo, you know, it's your legacy. Do what you want with it. If you want to jack up your legacy, it's your legacy. It's not for us to decide. Maury knows what he's going to be remembered for. He's on record as saying this. He's great. He's had an amazing life and an amazing career, and I'm really anxious to talk to him. But he's already on record as saying, I know that I'll be remembered for one of two things. The first thing being, you are not the father.
Andrew, you are not the father.
He says, he's on the record with this, either I will be remembered for saying, you are not the father, or you are the father. So we will talk paternity testing as a brand. That's amazing. His show is still going strong. 20 years in. Maury Povich is joining me later on today. He is a big sports fan. His father was a legendary columnist. His father was a sports columnist for the Washington Post, and he worked there 75 years. So we'll have that for you, too. You want to master the craft of smoking, and you want to share the awesome results during the big game next weekend, and you want to do so with Masterbuilt's electric smokers. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, Masterbuilt has the perfect smoker for your game day feast. It's available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, Cabela's, and right here. We're giving them away this week. For more information and recipes and tips, visit masterbuilt.com. Yesterday I said, the only thing worse than me starting off a Monday after championship weekend is talking about the referees. In fact, there's nothing worse. I would never do that. I would never do that. I always say complaining about the refs is lame. I would never start a show with that, except I had to because of the refs. You know what's worse than that? Doing it on Tuesday after a championship weekend. And if not for Melo, I would have done that too. It's everywhere still. This is the one thing that everybody is still locked in on. And I've been watching that replay over and over and over again this morning, and I can't miss it. It's on all my monitors. But I will tell you this, the way they slow that play down and they show you multiple angles and then you see the reverse angle, it's incredible how blatant it is. When they slow that thing down and you look at it frame by frame, that is a calamitous collision about five Mississippis before the ball arrives. It is so obvious. Dude was de-cleated at least five Mississippis before the ball actually arrived, with a defender not even bothering to look back and see the ball and admitting it after the fact. That can't happen. But the problem with that is, on Tuesday, that's still the only thing anybody's talking about. Dear Jim, I totally agree with you. Everything should be reviewable. Any and all plays, including called penalties and non-calls. America loves football. We don't care how long it takes to get it right. Just get it right. Saying a football game is too long is like saying sex is too long. No one will ever say that. Thanks, Randall. WFI in the OC.
Yeah!
Thanks for your insight, Randall. Yeah! Randall throwing the old, nobody would ever say sex is too long card to make his argument.
Yeah!
Come on, do you really want to imagine Randall getting nice? Come on. Don't mix that music in there, Alvin. Rome, I like the Rams over the Patriots because Belichick has no tape on Gurley from the NFC Championship game. Genius move by McVay not to play his dynamic back so the hoodie won't have game tape of him for Super Bowl preparation. John in Huntington Beach. War Hawk naming me a godfather. I don't know what's going on with Todd Gurley, but I think something's going on with Todd Gurley. And I don't think the reason that he didn't get more touches is because Sean McVay did not want Belichick to have tape. If I'm Sean McVay, I really want to get to the Super Bowl, and Todd Gurley is arguably my best player. Maybe. Not named Aaron Donald. But you know what? If I play him, although it gives us a better chance of actually getting there, they'll have tape. So I think I'm just going to run the fat back instead. Todd Gurley does not look right to me. And I don't know. I don't have any intel. I don't have any particular insight. That does not look to me like a guy who just had a bad game. That looks to me like a guy who's still probably banged up. And the extra week's going to help, but I wonder how close to being right he'll be for that game. It's a good thing they've got some insurance in the way of the so-called self-proclaimed, now I'm not saying it, the self-proclaimed fatback. Gurley not only did not look right, he didn't look anything like himself at all. Putting two on the ground and not being out there when it mattered, I think that he's not right physically, if I had to guess. I want to talk about the Rams and their defense, and I want to give the son of bum some credit. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. It is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Finally, a Chiefs fan's coming in. JJ in KC. JJ, how are you?
Rome, thanks, man. I'm a proud KC Chiefs fan. We're loud. Our blood type is football, beer, and barbecue sauce. Now, I get it. The Saints have a bigger complaint than we do. But I'm still just as mad. I mean, I get it. We're on the wrong side of the scoreboard. If we don't line up offsides, we win. But still, I should not know Cleek Blakeman's name. There's no reason ever for me to know a referee's name. And, oh my, that is the incompetence at the highest level. Him and the NFC crew, too. They cannot fail like that. What was he worried about? That Tom Brady was going to get CTE of the shoulder? That is insane. I mean, the Chiefs and the Saints, they're playing their tails off, and the refs are screwed up. War of the podcast, I'm out.
All right, you got it, JJ. Thank you very much. You said, yeah, I know. We're on the wrong side of the scoreboard. Actually, you're on the wrong side of the line of scrimmage. That's still unbelievable, right? How could a guy like that line up in the neutral zone with a game-clinching pick? things happen, that kind of thing can't happen. And if you notice, it never happens to the Patriots, which goes back to that line of questioning that I had with Ian O'Connor. It's kind of amazing that all these weird things happen with the Patriots. Are they all luck, or is luck the residue of preparation? There's something to it. I don't think it's all luck. I don't think it's all luck. I think if it keeps happening over and over again and the Patriots are on the right side of it, then it can't all be luck because nobody's that lucky. There's more to it than that. There was a lot of bad officiating this weekend, which is too bad because it was one of the best weekends of football ever. Two championship games. They both go to OT. How are we not talking about that? How are we not talking about the best weekend of football in a long time? Because it was some of the worst officiating in a long time. And I'm not one of those guys who's going for low-hanging fruit. I don't want to be that guy who comes in here. Hey, look, I know this. I've seen it time and time again. You want to get retweets. You want to get likes. You want to get reaction. Kill the officials. Just go. It's so easy, and it's so convenient. I don't want to be that guy. But when the officials do what they did over the weekend, they leave me no choice whatsoever. Let's go to Chris in New England. Thank you for being patient. Chris, how are you?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good.
I called in 2 years ago, first time back then. Tried to get in yesterday, but you were flat out as it is. And I'll say the same thing when I called and spoke to you 2 years ago. You're a stand-up guy. I like what you do. I'm a firm one. I want to just make a brief comment after waiting 87 minutes on the phone, which I'll tell you something, my man. The only person I've ever waited 87 minutes for was the federal government, my divorce attorney. And those are two calls I didn't want to take. But let's get on the faction of the haters. You know what? I'm 51 years old, so just came in from outside New England after shoveling snow and breaking up ice for 2.5 hours. And the game that was on the other night was a classic Tom Brady precision surgeon, cut you out, cut the tumor out. Now, the haters, we've been hating the New York Yankees for how many years down here? You guys, last year, everybody said the Dodgers were going to get us. Now we got where we needed to go. A lot of turmoil last year with Belichick and White Butler didn't play, and a lot of you guys were right. A lot of turmoil, Brady coming back, the kid who wrote the book, I read it. He's sharp. He knows what he's doing. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a dynasty. Should have been 7, not 5, soon to 6, P6. It's amazing that they're going back when Brady was a rookie, when Bledsoe went down, and we got your Rams back then. Now, the other thing in regards to adapting, overcoming, and improvising, do your job. Everybody is held accountable. To be the man, you got to beat the man. The Pats in the over, and that's what's going to happen this year. Keep on doing what you're doing, Romy. Love the show and the staff. God bless.
Chris, God bless. Could not appreciate you anymore. And I want to apologize to you personally for making you wait 87 minutes. If I had remembered that you were the Chris in New England from 2 years ago, I would have gone right to you. Rack him. I agree with pretty much everything he just said, except for that part about I read the kid's book. You mean Ian O'Connor? That kid? Everything he said, though, about the Pats is right. Brady was surgical. He's got the Pats and the over. Hey, Keith, what's the over right now? I've got to look it up. I'm not sure what the over is. I know that the Patriots opened up as dogs. And then right when Tommy and Jules were going to go crazy over that, all the money quickly went to them, and now they are the favorites. I'm not sure what the over-under is. 57, Chael says. That's high. Is that not the highest ever? 57? How'd you do last weekend? Now that it's Tuesday, I think I can go on the record. I literally lost my entire account. I lost every bet that I made over the weekend. Sunday, bloody Sunday. I lost everything I had in my account. And can I tell you this? From when I started this season, I was plus. I was ahead. So I was feeling pretty good about me, feeling pretty good about my choices. So I did what a lot of people do. I went in confidently. It did not go well. I started to chase in game. It went worse. Went for a big swing. Woke up Monday morning sitting on 63 cents in my account. So you know what I did? I loaded it back up. Stay tuned. Hour number three, straight ahead.